So Christmas is over. How many of you had family visiting? How many of you are glad they're gone? No, not okay. But the families are gone, the presents are open, the meals have all been cooked, the cookies have all been devoured. The decorations are down, or they'll soon be coming down. It's time to head back to our ordinary lives. The wonder, the magic, the gifts, the wonder, it's all gone. I mean, the decorations in here have all come down. For some, that can be very blah. We're heading back. We're heading into the winter season. The rain's going to start coming. The days are going to start getting cold. It's going to be dreary. We're heading back to our work and our office. I know it's not very an uplifting way to start a message, but for some, this time can be kind of depressing. Now, Pastor Rich has been talking the past couple weeks about God being with Mary, God being with Joseph, God being with the shepherds, the wise men, different actors and characters in the Christmas story, and how they have God came alongside them and helped them. Today, we're going to be talking about our ordinary lives and how God is with us in our ordinary lives as we head back to the office, as we head back to school, as we enter the after Christmas season. So I think Mary and Joseph had sort of a letdown after Christmas as well. I mean, they're just a little bit different. I mean, they had to travel for the census, travel to Bethlehem for the census. They gave birth to their newborn son in a stable, and right after their birth, they had 3 to 4 to 5 crazy shepherds come bursting in on them. That's always unusual. They had wise men come and bring gifts, very precious gifts, and give them to them, and then they're back to their normal lives. They're back to Nazareth. They're all that splendor, all that happened that night is done, and they're back to their normal lives. Off to the normal grind, off to the office, laundry to be done, dishes to be had for Joseph, lumber to be cut and hewn. One of the things that was a big part of their normal lives would have been the temple, would have Mary and Joseph the temple. And right after giving birth, there were a couple ceremonies, a couple sacrifices that Mary and Jesus, well, very young, he wouldn't have actually done them himself, but they needed to go to the temple to give these sacrifices, to do these ceremonies. And these would have been done by Jews hundreds of thousands of times over thousands of years. And there were no surprises. Everything was just ordinary. It was what they were called to do, what they knew God was asking them to do. But God was with them. They knew God was calling them to do this. God was with them. And God shows up, and they meet Simeon. They meet Simeon in the temple that day. Now, Simeon was going through his ordinary life. Who was Simeon? Simeon was a man that was called by God, and he was told that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Messiah. And so he went to the temple every single day looking for the Messiah, looking and waiting to see the Christ. That was his ordinary day. We aren't told how long he waited, but we sort of get the impression that it was a long time. He had been going to the temple a lot of times. And he must have been waiting and waiting and waiting patiently. But I can imagine he sort of got kind of tired of that. And it did become routine and ordinary. And I can imagine the joy that he must have felt when he finally saw Jesus come into the temple being carried by his mom and his dad. And he rushes over and he grabs Jesus, which I'm sure would have been a little nervous. Mary might have been a little nervous, this strange man coming over and holding her son. But it says that he holds the child and he says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light to revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people Israel." So here's a man that has spent all his ordinary days looking for Jesus, looking and waiting not only for his salvation, but for ours as well. And when he finally saw him, he was ready to die. Simeon had the ultimate bucket list: see Jesus. That was his bucket list. That's what he was waiting around to do. Nothing else in his life was going to measure up to that one moment when he could carry out God's will. That ordinary minute ended up being very powerful for Simeon. And I'm sure it must have been really affirming for Mary and Joseph as well. They had just gone through the wonderful experience of the birth, but here was a man coming up and speaking from his heart, speaking from God, and once again reminding them that they are doing what is right and that this baby is going to be special. So this one ordinary moment for Mary and Joseph and Simeon was a really powerful moment. But what are we doing with our ordinary lives? Mary and Joseph and Simeon, they were going through their, as I said, ordinary tasks, but doing what God called them to do. But following God doesn't always end up being ordinary. The holidays are almost over. We still have New Year's. We can still have a little bit of fun. And then our ordinary lives are back. What are you doing with your ordinary lives? So I'm going to leave you with this one verse. It's Romans 12:1, and I really like how it's phrased in the Message. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. If we place our ordinary lives in God's hands, extraordinary things can happen. Greg, thank you.
Thank you, Joel. Well, I have to start off by saying that thank you for allowing Joel and I to be a part of this worship with you. It is certainly an honor and a privilege to be here. I hope that you are being blessed by the worship and by what you hear today. And it's amazing because Joel and I, we didn't really get together too much and talk about what we're going to say or what we're going to do, but he started off almost exactly like I did, which is great. You know, when Rich asked us to speak, I get excited. I like talking. I like to get up and say a few things, and I'm not bashful about that. And I thought, okay, now I got to really start thinking about what I'm going to talk about. And Rich put an immediate, you know, pulled the reins back and said, no. You need to, we're doing a sermon series on God with us, Emmanuel. And you and Joel will be speaking about what it's like for God to be with you in the everyday. And so we had some meetings with Rich, and we were tossing around some different topics and ideas, a little brainstorming session to think about what we would talk about. And one thing that Rich had said was, so everything's over and everything's put away. The boxes are put away. And that really kind of started resonating with me, and that's where I kind of ran with this, is that, you know, Christmas is over. The decorations are down. The tree is either put back in its box or it's put out on the tree. The gifts are all put away to where they're supposed to be. And then I started thinking, well, what happens next? Where do we go from here? What exactly are we doing next? And I can only imagine that we, as Joel said, and I'm going to say here, that life just kind of picks up where we left off before the holidays. It goes back to work, or maybe unemployment, family, finances, school, relationships, worries, loneliness, depression, addictions, and on the list could go. You might have your own little thing that I didn't say, that you might be struggling with it. Maybe during the Christmas time you thought, it's going to change. This is it. It's going to be different. But here we are. It's the holidays are over. What's next? So, in that list, I think we give up on God. I think we are looking for something to happen, something wonderful to happen during the holiday season. Something to say that will be a sign to us that says, this is it. God's going to change my life. Jesus was born for me, and something's going to just happen, and a miracle is going to happen to me, and it's going to change. But in my list of things, where was God? Is he an active part in your life? Are we actively involving him? Are we putting him in a box? Are we putting them on the shelf with all the decorations and kind of just, well, another year over, let's put it away? And I started thinking about this, really, as I was preparing to speak. I was doing my own cleaning at home. Our decorations are down. The lights are taken down. The tree's down. But the last thing in my house that gets put away, and I was a little bit more aware of it this time, was the nativity scene. Started boxing up the nativity scene, and I thought it was kind of peculiar. I made a little bit more mental challenge to, as I put it away, thinking about the different characters that had been presented to us, the Magi, the shepherds, Joseph and Mary. But then I thought, I put them away in that order. I was kind of putting things away, and I was saving baby Jesus for the last. Kind of held on to that little figurine that was supposed to be a representation of Jesus. I'm not quite sure if that's an accurate description there, but. And then you put them in the little styrofoam thing, and then you put the box away, and then you put it in the tub, and then you take the tub and you put it out in the garage and you put it on the shelf. I just put Jesus in a box and put him away. And I wonder, in our everyday lives, how often do we put Jesus in a box? Or how often do we put him in a back burner? Or how often do we say, you know what, I can do this. I don't need you. I got it. It's okay. And I just can't imagine that what we do and what that makes Jesus feel, or what that makes God feel. But I got good news. Okay? God is with us no matter what we do, every day. He's there. He is with us every single day. What separates us from him is our own egos, our own wants, our own desires, our own agendas, that stops us from recognizing that God is right here, right now. We're going to take a quick look at Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 16. Now, notice I'm not looking at baby Jesus. This is towards the end of Jesus' ministry. He's already been betrayed. He's been judged. He's been crucified. He's died. He's been buried. And now we're going to pick it up in chapter 24, where he's risen again. Chapter 24, verses 13 through 16. Now that same day, two of them, disciples, were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. Everything that had happened. So this is supposed to be on the same day that they rolled the rock back and Jesus was missing. Where is he? So they're in a different world. This was going to be the leader that was going to restore Israel. This was going to be the man that was going to change everything. But he was crucified, he was buried, and now he's missing. He's not there. The tomb is empty. There's a lot on these people's minds. There's a lot that are there worried about. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Looked at a lot of commentaries about this particular last verse, that their eyes were held downward, or that they kept looking upon the ground as they walked, which was a posture suitable for their melancholy spirits, is how one commentator wrote. They were so worked up on their own agendas, their own worries, their own wants, their own desires, that they missed the man that they were with. They had the Last Supper. They were there. They were with him. They worshiped with him. They prayed with him. But yet they still couldn't recognize who this man was. Because their own minds, their own hearts, downcast, looking down, not aware of who this man was that walked alongside with him. Isn't that kind of amazing? They knew who this man was in the physical sense. They had been with him, but yet they didn't recognize him. Got good news, though, people. Got good news. He is still with us in the everyday. We're going to look now at Acts 1, 3 through 9. Again, he's been popping up. He's been showing himself to these disciples and sharing with them. And this is the last time that we get to really see him talk to them. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised." I'm going to stop right there. The gift. We all like gifts. That's what we've kind of, society has turned Christmas into. The gifts. Sometimes we feel almost obligated when we get a gift. Oh, man, I didn't get him a gift. I better go get him a gift. He gave me one, so I better give one. But the definition of a gift is that there's no gift needed in return. It's given freely, openly. I give you this with no expectation. And here God is saying, wait for the gift my Father promised. So, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The gift of God is the Holy Spirit that he gives to us, that gives us the ability to know that God is with us, always, every day. I continue on, and it's a little... I find this really funny because these disciples hear this and they're like, oh, wow, we're going to get a gift. We're going to get the Holy Spirit. But yet it says, so when they met together, they asked him, so Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They still don't get it. They still don't understand that they have their own agendas. They have their own wants. They want the kingdom restored. They think that this is their leader that's going to push them forward. Excuse me. They're going to push them forward. They still don't get it. And he says to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after that, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They have their own agendas, and he follows it up with, don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. Quit stressing. Quit looking for all these things that you do not need to worry about. I'm going to give you a gift, and with that gift, you're going to use it to spread the word about me. This gift is given freely and openly to be with us. The Holy Spirit is that beautiful, wonderful gift. To be our counselor, our guide, and our reminder of the love and grace and mercy that God gives us in the everyday. Don't ignore it. Don't run away from it. Don't misuse it. And don't put it in a box. As I was preparing for this, I have to share that I feel that I put Jesus in a box. I come to this service every Sunday to a place where I feel welcome, where I feel accepted. I feel that it's a place of comfort. And we get to hear great music. And we get to hear people talk about Jesus and about how we can be saved and how we can use that to save others. I'm guilty of this, because I think sometimes we put Jesus in this box right here, in this room. We walk out those doors, and Jesus is still right here. And I think he's saying, hey, wait, hello, hey, you can't do it without me. He's yelling at the top of his lungs to get your attention. I got this, God. I'm okay. I'm going to go out and I'm going to face all these demons. I'm going to face all these things, all these worries. I got it. No, you don't. I'm right here. I'm with you. I am the Holy Spirit and I walk alongside you. But we leave them here. It's great when we're here. You feel it? Camille, God bless you. Christmas Eve, if you weren't here, tears, chills, God's Holy Spirit was living in this building. It was awesome. It was amazing. the music and the messages and just everything, the baptism. God was living right here. And right when I walked out those doors with my three kids, I started worrying and stressing about, okay, we got to do this, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do that. Just as guilty. And I share with you this little story as I wrap up, that this holiday season has been a rough one for me. Really. This is the first one where I've been unemployed. This is the first one where I wasn't feeling too holiday cheerful. I had emotions of being really happy to really sad. Bouts of depression. The worry and the angst that I have in my life. And I wasn't using Jesus. I wasn't depending on the Holy Spirit. But I think God did use the Holy Spirit by giving me the opportunity to come up here and share. Because he gave me the time to spend in the Word with him. To dive closer and to be closer with Jesus. And I have to tell you, people, that that's the only way that you will know that God is with you in the everyday. You have to start your day and go through the whole day by being in his presence and accepting it. Not leaving him here, not leaving him in your Bible studies or your midweek prayer times. But every moment of every day, God is with us, as promised by the gift of the Father. He has provided us with the Holy Spirit. I would like to take this opportunity to invite you that if this is something that you've never heard before, or maybe you're going through something like I have, where the stresses of the holidays have just really burdened you, and you really don't know what the next step is, Joel and I will be up front. And if you'd like to pray to accept Jesus into your life and to learn more about who this miraculous man was, we'll be there for you. If you'd like to learn more, or if you want to have someone just pray with you, maybe you have a stress in your life that you need to let go. Maybe you have a worry that you need help to let go. We'd like to invite you to feel comfortable enough to come up with us. Thank you so much, everyone. We appreciate the opportunity to be here, and that we ask that you just go from this place and take the Holy Spirit with you. Join me in prayer, please. Father God, we are meek. We are weak. We have worries and stresses that this holiday just sometimes piles on. We give you the thanks, the honor, and the praise for all that you have provided. We celebrate the birth of your Son, but we are so thankful for the ultimate sacrifice that you put him on the cross. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, Father, that walks with us, talks with us, and is with us on the everyday. Father, we don't want to leave you behind in this building. We invite you to come with us in our lives. Father God, be our center. Be our everything. Be our all. And all God's people said amen.